most of us don't have a problem solving problems. What we really have is a clarity problem. When something isn't working, our instinct is often to add more effort, more resistance, more meetings, more people, more money, more processes. But more activity does not automatically create more productivity. And as we look towards productivity, we need accessibility to others, and including your God, and we need gratitude, the ability to find the light, the love, and the lessons in that problem. That is which will bring clarity to the problem, because the solution is already in the problem. That's just a lapse of time. And we don't want to slow down the time or resist how long it's going to take. We want it to be at ease so it happens faster. It accelerates. It exponentially grows. We learn. We see revenue decline and we immediately assume we need more leads or we need another salesperson, when the real issue may be that prospects are dropping out at one specific point in the linear time of the sales process. It is an arbitrary and capricious circumstance, not one of clues, patterns to change our divine direction and make interfering choices. What we give our attention to, we want to give our intention to. And there's five levels of intention, not just what we say, not just what we do, not just what we think, not just what we believe, but what we feel, an energetic intention. And what we give our intention to does create the coincidences, the coinciding of the opportunities that we want or better in our lives. Clarity will allow us to direct that attention and intention towards what actually matters. So we obviously must know for the sake of what. We must know our divine direction. We must know our what. We must know our who we can help and who can help us. We must know our how to utilize time with non-negotiable and negotiable behaviors. We must know how to prioritize what's important to us. And of course, we must dissipate, dissolve, and disappear the interference between us and that which already exists. The resolution, the resolution to the struggle, the setback, the failure, the problem that appears to be there by the evidence or the evidence contrary to where we want to be. The first lesson, and if you'd like any of these lessons, please just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Or if you'd like the replay to this training, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. The first lesson is to get clarity. We got to get clear by defining the real problem, the real struggle, setback, or mistake, not the ego's illusion of that problem. A vague problem creates vague behaviors. If our perception of the problem is inaccurate or clouded or interfered with, every decision and every action that follows will be misaligned or interfering with their divine direction, interfering with your devotion, which is incorporating your discipline. Instead of saying our business isn't growing, we should ask exactly what point between attention, engagement, commitment, and execution are people falling off? What is creating a longer lapse of time between the solution and the resolution, the problem and the resolution? Our results will always follow an exact progression. We get clear on our thoughts, we're clear on our perception. If we're clear on our perception, we will give the clear meaning for the sake of what we are pursuing this potential. And the clearer the thought, perception, and meaning, then we will have clearer intention, which means we will what? Say clear things We will do clear things. We will think clear things. We will believe clear things, and we will have clear energy, which is attaching us to the infinite energy, intuition, intelligence, inspiration. All of those great capabilities exist in an infinite nature, and it's our source. Imagine if we could increase each and every day by decreasing the interference, our energy, inspiration, our intuition, our intelligence, our infinite being. When we follow this progression of clear thoughts, perception, clear meaning, clear intention, now our behaviors are aligned in the divine. They're not only disciplined, so no need to worry about being so busy working you forget to make money, but it is a clearly disciplined divine direction and a devotional behavior that enjoys the consistent everyday, persistent without quit, pursuit of your potential, your attention and intention, your coincidences, your desires. And lo and behold, all of this definition of clarity by defining what it is through the clarity of thought, perception, meaning, intention, and behavior creates greater exponentiality of results, better than what we desired. Now, when that result comes, we may not recognize it as better, but it is, because it is connected through the infinite intelligence, intuition, inspiration, and energy that exists. If we want to change our results, if we want to improve our results, we first need clarity around how we perceive the problem. What we need to ask, what is interfering with us in our outcome that we desire or better? We need to understand and replace these generalized vague issues or problems with specific questions, uncomfortable questions that we may not want the answer to, because we may have to work harder, smarter, and faster, or we might have to face the truth. Identify not only these interferences, but identify the measurable point where performance begins to interfere with, where it begins to break down. You don't need to solve anything until you can clearly articulate the problem to yourself, let alone others. You got to get clear. And the way that we get clear is to clear the interference between us and the clear, us and the infinite. We need to define clarity of thought, perception, meaning, intention, behavior, which will give us the divine devotional results or better in which we want. If you'd like a lesson on how this works to get clear, how to define the problem, if you'd like that exercises guide, my book, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. david@dmeltzer.com. The second lesson in turning our problems into possibilities, probabilities, perspective, is we need to do something that's counterintuitive, which is remove before we add. Lesson number two is to remove before we add. We are conditioned to believe that improvement requires addition, more. But every new meeting, every new employee, every new system and responsibility carries financial, emotional, and opportunity costs. So we need to look to remove before we add. We believe we need better time management when the bigger opportunity may be eliminating meetings, delegating responsibilities, or automating tasks that never required our attention in the first place. This is where so many people get so busy, they forget to make money. Simplification creates acceleration. because simplification reduces the interference between you and the infinite. Sometimes the easiest way to create more capacity is not managing more effectively. It's doing less of what you shouldn't have been doing in the first place, something that never belonged there. You need to not move faster, but stop more often. Stop when we recognize what is slowing us down. We need to stop when we recognize what's interfering with our potential. We don't need to speed up. We don't need to add. We need to stop. And we need to then recollect ourselves, remind ourselves, remember ourselves with our divine direction of who we can help and who can help us and how to get it done. Prioritizing, reprioritizing, pre-prioritizing, knowing that prioritization is the antidote to not only procrastination, but this feeling of being overwhelmed. We need to clear the resistance, the resentment, the guilt, the need to be right, the need to be offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, or guilty. We need to stop overselling, lying, manipulating, and cheating. We gotta stop denying it. We need to stop and recollect, remind, and remember with source, the infinite source, so that we can move into that divine direction, a better trajectory. Now can accelerate. Don't accelerate into the problem. Accelerate into the solution and the resolution, because every problem already has the solution in it. It's just a lapse of time created by the interference between the problem and the solution that it now becomes a resolution, a resolution. We need to identify the activities that can either eliminate the resistance, dissipate the resistance, dissolve the resistance, the interference, or automate things to shorten the distance of resistance, or delegate those things to give away the resistance. These are the activities to eliminate, automate, and delegate that will help you get to where you want to be or better by removing things. Before we add things to this, we need to stop and we need to recollect, remind, and remember, and we need to accelerate, aggregate through elimination, automation, and delegation to where we want to be or better. If you would like to learn how to remove before we add, if you'd like exercise, these guides, the replay of training, we've been doing this for over 28 years, just email me, your beloved servant, David means beloved, at D. That's my first initial. Meltzer means servant. Let me be your beloved servant. David@dmeltzer.com. The third lesson of how to turn the problems into possibilities, probabilities, and perspective to create your reality or better. Find the constraint. Focus in on what controls the outcome. You see, the ego doesn't control the outcome. The ego wants to control the outcome. It also wants to defend you from the outcome, and it also wants to prove that you can create the outcomes. And all three are not true, and they're all three creations of the ego, of what it has a need to do. That's why we need to find the constraint of the ego, of the need to defend, to prove, and to control. And when we can recognize, acknowledge those needs, we can now focus in on actually what controls the outcomes. We can improve many, many different things and still create very little progress, if any. Because if one major bottleneck continues, it may be the one that's controlling or restricting or interfering with the best result, the potential of a result that you desire or better. So often we may spend money generating more attention. And I see this all the time. I want followers. I want more people to see me. I want more people to listen to me. Not me. I want some leaders that I can listen for what they desire, what they have to teach me, what and how I can be capable of helping them, knowing that I'm able and capable of helping other people. I'm at my higher self. So I don't spend any money trying to generate attention. Because if people are consistently dropping out before commitment, who cares about attention? If we're not capable of stimulating interest or transitioning interest or sharing a vision, and most importantly, if we're not able and capable of managing and developing that vision, what good is attention? Increasing awareness only sends more people into a broken process. It's like people, you know, I give away all my books. If anybody would like my book, I will pay for the book. I will pay for shipping. I will sign it, send it to you. And yet more people buy my book than I give it away. I gave over 20,000 books away last year and sold over 100,000. But if the book itself sucked, it was broken in its process, and I was giving away all of this suckiness, I'm creating awareness, I'm creating attention into what? A broken process. We don't need to optimize everything with AI. We need to identify the interference. We need to identify the constraints that control everything and try not to control it ourselves, because that will be the ego's immediate reaction to uncertainty and circumstance that is not aligned with where you want to be. That will be your immediately the way you feel, with a need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, and resentful. What we need to do is create a progress pipeline. A progress pipeline that helps to understand and find these constraints so that we can focus in on what is actually controlling the outcome, since I can't. The progress pipeline is that what we pay and get attention to through what we do in person, on the phone, via email, or social media, what we transition that attention into interest. Telling and showing that we are more interested than interesting. And then transitioning from attention to interest to transition to engagement through a shared vision. And then transition that engagement, that shared vision, into the ability to understand that a shared vision, the minute we have a shared vision, whether it's verbal, written, with consideration, which is payment or not, it matter, is a commitment. But that commitment is only 20% of the way there, because we need to transition that commitment into execution, which is the management and development of that commitment, of that engagement, of that shared vision. We need to manage and develop it and execute on it equal to or greater than the original expectation, by knowing that the minute we get a commitment, verbal, written, oral, with consideration, without, three things change immediately. Time, emotion, and value change immediately. So instead of holding a timeline that is ineffectual because of time changing, or value, a percentage that isn't malleable or changeable according to the circumstances, and understanding that emotion changes. This is what we teach in the Strategic Alliance Accelerator, creating non-binding commitments to each other, that I will try to do this for you, and if you do this for me, I will try to pay you this, and you will try to pay me that according to the circumstances. And if the circumstances change, we will have an open dialogue on how best we can help each other, instead of these false facades of commitment, which lead to false facades of execution, which leads to false facades of results. If you want to use the progress pipeline to take the attention and transition it into interest and transition it into engagement and transition it into commitment and transition it into managing and developing that commitment, you will thrive. That will be your results. People will buy from you and sell for you for life. We need to optimize thing by utilization of the progress pipeline. We need to map out the process from beginning to result using these criterias. We need to identify where momentum consistently is interfered with by determining where it slows down or even stops. We must ask ourselves, what single thing is limiting our progress the most? What single thing is interfering with our progress? We need to find the constraints and focus on what controls the outcome. If you would like the progress pipeline, if you would like help on this, the exercise, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. If you would like to join our Strategic Alliance Accelerator, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Lesson number four, question our assumptions. Question our assumptions. Be curious. Be more interested than interesting, because curiosity over certainty wins every time. I'm going to repeat that. Curiosity over certainty. Curiosity wins over certainty every time. Some of our biggest limitations that stem from our self-identity, our self-image, knowing that we never will overachieve our own identity. But our biggest limitations come from the belief when we stop questioning our beliefs. The book of why. An assumption is simply a hypothesis that we have begun to treat as fact. Nothing's more dangerous than treating assumptions as facts. We tell ourselves we need more employees, our customers won't pay more, nobody else can do this as well as I can, without ever testing whether those statements are actually true or close to true. We don't need to defend what we believe. We don't need to prove anything to anyone. We don't need to control anything. We need to discover what is true by clearing the interference, by being curious, by asking why, for the sake of what? Because curiosity allows us to learn without becoming emotionally attached to being right. You don't know what you don't know. I guarantee that. And if there's an intimate amount of knowledge, that means you don't know an infinite amount. So what do we do? Questioning our assumptions, being more curious, being more interested than interesting, looking for where we make assumptions of certainty that don't exist. Well, the easiest and fastest thing is to cancel assumptions. Look to see where we have assumptions and cancel them. And then clear our emotional attachment to being right, to being offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, all of those things. Now we can connect the evidence to what actually is true without assumptions, by being more interested than interesting, by being curious over certain, leaning into ignorance, not arrogance. There's three types of people. The ignorant people don't know what they don't know. The ignorant people that don't know what they don't know. The difference between those two people, those two ignorant people, is one pretend like they know. Those are arrogant, ignorant people. And those that are humble, or about to be, and admit that they don't know what they don't know. If you would like to learn how to be more curious, how to be more interested than interesting, email me, your beloved servant, David means beloved, at first initial D, Meltzer means servant, david@dmeltzer.com. Lesson number five, always be a student of blank, of your family, of your calendar, of your health, of whatever it is. Always become a student. Learn before we reinvent. Utilize the AAA strategy to do this. The AAA strategy says that you must get alignment first as a student, and then take action as a student, and then prepare for adjustment as a student. The AAA strategy walks you through how to learn before we reinvent, readjust, pivot, whatever, expand, whatever adjectives or adverbs you'd like to use. We rarely face a challenge that no one else has experienced in some form. That's why knowing our who is so important. This is not unique to you. I talk about the biggest challenges in my life, being abused, going bankrupt, being cheated, lied to, oversold, back end sold, manipulated, not new. Having abuse problems, like, not new. Unfortunately, we rarely face a challenge that no one else has experienced in some form. Bankruptcy. When we are students, when we study others, when we ask for help, when we give more, then we're given more. And when we're given more, we can receive more. And when we receive more, now we could ask for more than more. So we can give more than more, be given more than more, receive more than more, and ask for more than more than more. We can live in the world of more than enough of everything for everyone, only if we are students. And then we shorten our learning curve. We expand our learning zone. And we avoid paying the tuition, the dummy tax that somebody else has already paid for. Once again, join our Strategic Alliance Accelerator. Let other people pay the tuition and the dummy tax for you. There's no challenge that you're facing that someone in our group hasn't experienced in some form and already paid for. Before rebuilding an entire process for your personal, professional life, for sales, for marketing, for AI, whatever it is, before you start from scratch, why not study someone who's already created the result and find and work with them, help them and have them help you? We want to learn what worked, what failed, and what can be adapted to our situation. We want to analyze their AAA strategy of alignment, action, and adjustment and improve our AAA strategy of alignment, action, and adjustment. As stated before, when we're more interested than interesting, this gives us access to the dummy tax, the tuition, the knowledge, the skills, the relationships. Don't overlook the relationships and the resolutions, the resolutions we might never discover alone. Nothing will shorten the distance of resistance, the lapse of time between the problems and the solutions to get to the resolution than this lesson of becoming a student, of asking for help, of utilizing the infinite loop of giving to incorporate the AAA strategy. We must ask ourselves, who has already solved something like this? Who sits in the situation that I want to be in or better? And also, who can I help? Because we learn we are students from both being mentors and being mentees. Study not just the successes of others, but especially the failures of others. Study them. Read the books of the people who have had similar challenges and have come to resolution. Study both successes and failures. Determine what we can adapt through the AAA strategy by getting alignment first and preparing for adaptation, preparing for adjustment while we have a divine direction of what we do say, think, feel, and believe. Determine what can be adapted to the circumstances, either by having non-negotiable behaviors that the circumstances have no effect on, or circumstantial behavior, negotiable behavior, that allow us to adjust and align and stay aligned with our divine direction or better. Determine what we can adapt to these circumstances with non-negotiable and negotiable behavior. Become a student. Learn before we reinvent. Use the AAA strategy. Take and get alignment through being a student. Take action as a student. Continue learning. And of course, create adjustments. If you would like the AAA strategy, the exercises and guides to becoming a better student, to align, take action and adjustment, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. david@dmeltzer.com. The final lesson today, to turn our problem into possibilities, probabilities, and perspective, to take us out of the 98% of the drifters of the world, please, we must test, measure, and adjust to turn those possibilities into probabilities. This nothingness that the drifters live into, living their lives like tubes, food in, food out. But turn your possibilities into probabilities, probabilities into perspective, and perspective into reality. Perfection will slow progress. I'm going to repeat that. Perfection slows progress. I seek progress, not perfection. Instead of building the perfect solution, we need to shorten the distance between the assumptions and the evidence that appears. It is progress, not perfection. We need to test, measure, adjust, test, measure, adjust, turning possibilities into reality. So instead of spending 6 months and significant resources building something new, a new product, a new MVP, a new offer, a new ask, we need to test and go. We need to run small experiments to determine whether customers actually want it before making a larger commitment. We must find and pay some dummy techs in smaller proportions by testing and going, by testing, by measuring and adjusting, by testing and go, especially in marketing. Too many people just throw some money on ad spend without ever testing and going, without ever seeing a commitment of a community to see who it resonates with and how many leaders are buying from you and selling for you. We need to move through the perspective chain. See, this nothingness that most people live in, the nothingness turns to a possibility if you have clarity on what you want. What do I want personally? What do I want experientially? What do I want to give? What do I want to receive, which is the ultimate gift of allowing someone else to be able and capable of helping you, allowing someone else to be closest to God, allowing somebody else to be at their highest potential. When you know your what, the nothingness that 98% of us live in turns into a possibility. And then we need to find out who we can help and who can help us. That possibility now turns to a probability. Then we have to use the AAA strategy, student of the calendar, the non-negotiable, negotiable behaviors, what we have planned, unplanned, scheduled and unscheduled, paid for and unpaid for, even our sleep, what we have, the negotiable and non-negotiables that now tell us our how are we going to use the 24 hours that we're guaranteed today, the guarantee every day of 24 hours, except for, of course, the last day of your life, you'll be cheated. But how am I going to use that how to turn my possibility into a probability, into my perspective? And then taking that perspective of how and asking, what can I do now? What should I prioritize now? Knowing prioritization is the antidote to not only procrastination, but the antidote to feeling overwhelmed. So I create the do it now. 100% of the things I do now and do next actually get done. In other words, they become my reality. I can take the what and make a possibility, the who and make a probability, the how and make a perspective, but the now makes it real. And then the only thing left to do is to apply my why, to clear the interference between me and the now, so I can take advantage of the infinite energy, intuition, inspiration, and intelligence that exists. That nothingness can become a possibility. Possibilities, probabilities, probabilities, perspective, perspective, reality, and reality are why. We must test the information, looking at the evidence of the clues and the patterns, and create consistent, persistent pursuit of our potential, of perfection, pursuit of perfection, of progress, not perfection, which will create a greater reality for us or better. We must ask ourselves, what is the smallest useful test we can run? Can we test and go? We need to establish a baseline each and every day to plateau and grow before making dramatic changes. Measure before change. Measure change before after. Measure the before, change, and after. Test, measure, and adjust. Turn the nothingness to possibility, probability, perspective, and reality, and apply your why. You can determine the metric of time that actually matters before you begin. because time will be the only dependent variable. How much time am I spending in the divine direction of X, and how much time am I spending interfering with it? And therefore, if I can shorten the amount of time that I spend interfering with it and increase the amount of time in my divine direction, I'm going to end up in a better place, a better position. I am going to progress, pursuing perfection. We need to become committed to that trajectory, that divine direction. We need to be committed to the behaviors in that divine direction in a devotional manner, not just discipline, getting so busy working you forget to make money, but devotional behavior rather than emotionally attaching to the outcomes. I'll be happy when, instead of for the sake of what, am I enjoying the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit, pursuit of my potential. If you would like to learn how to test, measure, and adjust, if you want to learn the what, the who, the how, the now, and apply your why, email me, your beloved servant, David means beloved, at D, first initial, Meltzer means servant. Let me be your beloved servant, David at dmeltzer.com. You get the replays, the guides, the exercises. We don't have a problem solving problems. We need to get clear. We need to get clear and define the real problem. And you don't need to add anything. We actually remove before we add. By finding the interference, finding the constraints, and understanding the ego's need to be right, defend, and control, and focus in on what controls the outcomes, not our egos. We need to be more interested than interesting, question our assumptions, creating curiosity over certainty. We need to become students. Students, we need to learn before we reinvent. We need to test, measure, and adjust, turning the nothingness to possibilities, possibilities to probabilities, probabilities perspective, perspective to reality, and then apply our why. We so often measure, we often assume, we often control, we often assume greater results require more time, more money, more people, more motivation, more opportunity. But some of our greatest acceleration comes from removing complexity and focusing in our resources, our capabilities, aligning them with what's doing well, what's stable, what we think is doing well. Focusing on our resources, our capability, on what actually creates the results. Instead of attempting to improve every part of our business at once, let's get clarity of the real interference, the real problem, knowing the solution exists there, and it's just a lapse of time until we find the resolution, the resolution, by eliminating unnecessary activity, addressing the biggest interferences, testing the simple solution first, and measuring whether it works. We should never become committed to being right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, guilty, resentful, worried. We should become committed to finding what works. Progress, not perfection. So the process becomes that great clarity, the identification and elimination of interference, the identification of the solution through questioning and learning and testing and measuring. Then we adjust and execute again, knowing that we don't know what we don't know, knowing that you're either humble or you're about to be. If you would like the guides, the exercise, my book, if you would like the replay of this training, email me, David at dmeltzer.com. David at dmeltzer.com. This has been the Problems into Possibilities, Probabilities, and Perspective training. Remember, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds.